And a good Monday morning to you. Welcome into the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X. Don't forget that you can listen to and check out the podcast 24/7 by visiting nickcraig.com or searching for the Nick Craig Show in your favorite podcast app. Hopefully you had a nice weekend. As I mentioned on the Thursday show, was not here on Friday. Had a great opportunity to head up to Greensboro and take part in the John Locke Foundation's Policy Summit. Great event up there. Great opportunity to catch up with some lawmakers. I led a discussion on education funding in North Carolina. A great organization in the John Locke Foundation, and a great event taking place this past weekend. Nevertheless, so we are back, and we've got a busy show for you this morning. Starting off differently than I anticipated due to some breaking news from Elon Musk, of all people, earlier this morning. Got a post from him on X just after 5 o'clock this morning, 5:03, and it reads as follows. The @Doge team just discovered that FEMA sent $159 million last week to luxury hotels in New York City to house illegal immigrants. Spending this money violated the law and is in gross insubordination to the president's executive order. That money is meant for American disaster relief and instead is being spent on high-end hotels for illegals. A clawback demand will be made today to recoup those funds. So again, this coming out just after, a couple minutes after 5 o'clock this morning, as Elon Musk seemingly having a similar sleep schedule to the president of the United States, up all hours of the day and night. And this is what we are learning this morning from Elon Musk. And, you know, I'm going to start off by saying this. I'm not surprised, are you? Hurricane Helene impacted this state almost 7 months ago. And from day one, well, day one's probably not accurate to say, within the first couple of weeks, right? Because for right after Helene hit, you had a couple of weeks where most of the area was still uninhabitable. You had no communication, huge issues. So we'll give them a couple weeks right after the storm to get into the area, assess the damage, take a look at what's going on, and go on from there. But within weeks of FEMA on the ground, it was blatantly obvious and clear that it was a completely inept organization. It was obvious and clear that FEMA was not capable of dealing with the job in which they had to, which was a once-in-a-thousand-year storm impacting an area of the state that does not deal with major tropical weather events very often based on its geography. We're talking about Western North Carolina, not Eastern North, not the Wilmington area where we're, you know, 8 minutes from the beach. We're talking about being 8 hours from the ocean. So it's not very typical that you have these horrific tropical storms with wind and rain and everything associated like we saw with Helene. So yes, there was some complications due to the simple geography of Western North Carolina. And that's something that unfortunately is just what's going to have to be dealt with. There's no solution to it. It's a very complicated area to traverse. But nevertheless, FEMA showed up. Diane Criswell, the former FEMA administrator, made her way down to North Carolina. And what we've seen since then has just been complete and total incompetence. We have seen a federal agency, which its name is the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the acronym is FEMA, that seems to be completely incapable of dealing with emergencies. I mean, it's built right into their name. It's what they're supposed to be responsible for. And they, of course, one of the first stories right off the bat was that in portions of Western Florida, where Hurricane Milton hit a couple of weeks after Helene, is that they were ignoring houses, ignoring properties that had any sort of Trump paraphernalia, whether it was a Trump sign, a Trump flag, very common in Florida. and they were ignoring those structures. We found out that similar things were also going on in Western North Carolina. And since then, it's been the slow rolling of everything. The relief has been so incredibly slow in Western North Carolina. It's been so incredibly slow in Southern California. This is the overall issue with government. And you've heard me talk about it ad nauseum for years. Call it the slow wheels of government, the slow cog of government. And it just never gets any better. And so you reach a precipice, you reach a turning point where you seriously have to do some like really hard looking in the mirror, or in the case of FEMA, some really serious criticism and some real serious analysis of the agency, of the entity, of the organization, and determine, is this something that is operating and working the way it's currently set up? And I think I can say pretty safely this morning that FEMA, the way that it is organized right now, FEMA, the way that it operates right now, is not an agency that is doing the most with the resources they have. They have got hundreds of millions, if not billions of dollars a year to spend. And they spend it, but they don't do it in an efficient manner. They slow roll, they slow walk everything. Everything is crowded with bureaucracy, red tape, delays, excuse after excuse after excuse. And you'll always hear me bring this piece up on it. While government is sitting there slow rolling, slow walking, wrapping everything in red tape and bureaucracy, what's happening on the ground? People are hurting. People continue to struggle day in and day out with Western North Carolina. Whether they're going to be kicked out of their hotel the next day because FEMA's telling them, nope, you can stay in the hotel. Then meanwhile, FEMA's telling the hotel operator, kick these people out. And they don't know whether they're going to have a warm place or a dry or safe place to lay their head on a pillow the next night. Because again, FEMA is speaking out of both sides of its mouth. Or when the hell they're going to get any relief in their areas that have been so heavily disturbed and disrupted. And so you're seeing this discussion take place at the national level right now, as it should be. Is this agency, as it's set up right now, operating in the manner in which it, should? Or really, maybe a more pertinent question, the manner in which it can. Because we know that private-wide, or I should say private organizations, whether that be charities like Samaritan's Purse, or other organization. We spoke with Sean Hendricks back a couple of weeks ago about his organization, his group that he's leading. We know that the work can be done. We know that the relief can happen. So the question to ask is, why is it not? And unfortunately, the answer is very clear. Because it's the bureaucracy of the federal government. Because there's no accountability in organizations like FEMA. There's, I would argue, very little accountability within the federal government at all for anything. So they can slow walk their issues. They can just drag their feet on everything that they do. And what are you going to do about it? You can call your congressman, sure. It's a good effort to take. You can call your senator. You can call Tom Tillis. You can call Ted Budd. And yes, they'll call FEMA. They'll raise a little hell on social media about it. And this is not to say anything bad about our elected officials. They're doing all they can. But at the end of the day, it's a structural issue with FEMA. There's only so much hell raising that members of Congress can do. It's in one ear, out the other with FEMA. Because there's no accountability. There's no incentive to get the work done. There's no incentive to help the individuals. Now, let me be clear. The individuals that are on the ground for FEMA, the people that are doing the work, they want these individuals to get back into their homes. They want these individuals to get the relief that they not only need, but deserve. Because again, you don't get a choice as to whether you fund FEMA. You don't get a choice whether you pay your federal taxes. They deserve this relief. And for the people working on the ground with FEMA, they're doing everything that they can. But they've got to deal with this monstrosity of an organization to get anything done, which is just level of bureaucracy after level of bureaucracy. To the extent that things move so incredibly slowly, you might argue, why even have the entity? Why even have the agency? If things take this long to get complete, this long to get off the ground and get moving, what are we doing with this? Why are we funding this agency and entity in the way in which we are? And this leads into a conversation yesterday that took place. Kristi Noem, who is Trump's DHS secretary, was on CNN, their show, A State of the Nation, which was hosted by Dana Bash. And there was a back and forth exchange about FEMA. I thought it was pretty interesting. I'd like you to take a listen to it this morning. Take a listen.
This morning, Elon Musk said, quote, FEMA is broken. And he said so in response to the suggestion that he shut down FEMA entirely. FEMA is, of course, funded by Congress, has repeatedly been authorized in statute, including by laws you voted for when you were in Congress. Can and should Donald Trump shut it down?
He can, and I believe that he will do that evaluation with his team, and he's talking about it, which I'm grateful for. He'll work with Congress, though, to make sure that it's done correctly and that we're still there to help folks who have a terrible disaster or crisis in their life. He's been very clear that he still believes there's a role for the federal government to come in and help people get back up on their feet. But there's a lot of fraud and waste and abuse out there, and since President Trump has taken over and come back into this administration, we've seen incredible changes.
What's your recommendation?
So before we continue with that, you just heard there from Kristi Noem, there's a lot of fraud, waste, and abuse. And this is unfortunately the tale, not only with FEMA, but as we've learned over the last 3 weeks, which, by the way, is the amount of time that Trump's been in the Oval Office. But we've learned in the last 21 days that every entity within the federal government is rampant with fraud, waste, and abuse. Now, this is not a shock to you listening this morning. You're listening to this show because you're somebody that follows politics closely for the most part. You're in tune with what goes on. So when somebody says to you, there's fraud in the government, there's no light bulb going off in your head. You're aware of the fraud. You're aware of the waste. You're aware of the abuse. The issue is there's never been anybody to call it out. For generations now, we've all just walked along as lemmings as the federal government has continued in their rampant bureaucracy. And there's never really been anything to do about it. Congress doesn't have the balls to do anything. Republicans talk a big game in Congress, in the Senate, but when push comes to shove, they pass continuing resolutions, they continue to fund these agencies, and there's only so much they can do. Modest stuff happens at the behest of the president. And you saw under the previous administration, there was no interest in any sort of accountability at all for the president himself. And that trickled all the way down through his administration to agencies like FEMA, to agencies like USAID. There was nobody to call it out. There was nobody to go forward with any of this stuff. And so the end result is where we are right now, which is agencies that are not doing their job, sucking down billions of dollars worth of taxpayer monies each and every year. And the end result is a poor product for the American people. The end result is people struggling big time on the ground while they wait for and hope that their government is actually going to do something. Let's get back to the Kristi Noem clip.
Trump has taken over and come back into this administration, we've seen incredible changes.
What's your recommendation to him?
You know, he's talked a lot about doing block grants to states and to local officials. I was a governor, and when I was governor of South Dakota, we saw 12 different natural disasters that hit our state and that were FEMA related, that we had FEMA disasters. So I know it from that level, and I knew every single time that I and the local county emergency management directors, the mayors, the city councils, and the county commissioners, they made way better decisions than the people in Washington, D.C.
If the president came to you and said, you're my DHS secretary, mm-hmm. do you think I should get rid of FEMA? Mm-hmm. get rid of FEMA, mm-hmm. what would you say?
I would say yes, get rid of FEMA the way it exists today. We still need the resources and the funds and the finances to go to people that have these types of disasters like Hurricane Helene and the fires in California. But you need to let the local officials make the decisions on how that is deployed so it can be deployed much quicker, and we don't need this bureaucracy that's picking and choosing winners.
You mentioned Congress. Mm-hmm. USAID is an example, and there are others that I mentioned that the Consumer Protection...
Blah, 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 blah. Yeah, but Congress, Congress authorizes FEMA. Okay, so that's the justification? So people have waited 7+ months to get their $750 because that's all that FEMA was willing to offer them. Their entire livelihood's destroyed. FEMA says, oh, we got your back, Jack. Here's a check for $750 if you can get it. That's the solution. And I get Dana Bash, keeps going back to, Congress authorizes FEMA. Congress says we need to have FEMA. That's the issue here? Whether or not Congress says we need to have FEMA, the argument that, of course, the left is going to bring up, we're seeing it all over the place right now, is that Trump and Elon Musk and the Republicans don't have the authority to do what they're doing because Congress this, Congress that. So reading into that, listening to those comments, I assume that those individuals are okay with the current situation that's unfolding right now. That individuals like Dana Bash are okay with individuals getting the runaround for 7 months from the federal government while their entire livelihoods are destroyed. Their homes, their properties, their schools, their businesses, and in some cases, their entire towns, like Chimney Rock, are gone, completely wiped off the map. And for her, I guess that's okay. Because, Congress authorized FEMA. So even though they're doing a piss poor job in places like Western North Carolina, Congress authorized it, so we should be okay with that. This is the issue. The discussion is not about the relief in Western North Carolina. The discussion is not about relief in Southern California. It's Democrats attempting to protect their own. Just like we saw with USAID last week, there is so much nepotism within the government. There is so much money flowing back and forth and padding and lining everybody's pockets that the second that somebody starts looking into it, like we saw with Musk and USAID, telling us that, it makes sense for the federal government to be funding $8 million worth of subscriptions to Politico for, bill tracking services and insight within the government, as if the federal government doesn't already have the ability to do those things themselves. One of the big, I saw this on Twitter this weekend. The justification for the federal government spending all of the money that they were on Politico subscriptions was because Politico offered detailed bill analysis and bill tracking. So the federal government, the entity that is responsible for passing legislation and carrying out government, they don't have the ability to do analysis of legislation and to track it as it works through Congress? I'm just trying to understand this. The government doesn't have that ability. $36 trillion in debt. We don't have a simple bill tracking technology. So we need to pay Politico $8 million to do it? I mean, it's absurd, right? It's a complete farce. We know why Politico was being paid. It was subsidizing friendly media. And of course, it wasn't just Politico's subscriptions to all of these other left-wing rags that exist, whether it be the Washington Post or the New York Times, all of them combined for friendly media coverage of what's going on. We'll give you the money. We'll pat your back. You can pat ours with your friendly media coverage. And the status quo is okay for the left. And so, the discussion is not about relief. The discussion is not about the inabilities of FEMA. It's not about how much they've failed, how much they've screwed up, the back and forth, the hell that they have put people through for months on end now. That's not the discussion. It all surrounds, does Trump have the authority to end FEMA? He's not ending FEMA. He's not ending USAID. He's just stripping the department down to almost nothing. It will still exist, which Congress authorized, right? Congress doesn't say how big an agency needs to be. They authorize an agency to exist, in the case of USAID or FEMA. It doesn't say what they have to do. It doesn't say what they have to be responsible for. And I think long-term, as you heard from Kristi Noemann, as we've talked about in the past, the long-term solution for FEMA needs to be this. They essentially become a clearinghouse for the federal government. When there is a disaster, when relief is needed, FEMA is nothing more than writing checks to states for them to dole out the money. That needs to be the solution. You want to talk about cutting out the bureaucracy, cutting out the red tape? If FEMA is responsible for nothing but block grants to states, FEMA's gone. They're nothing more than a division that writes checks to states. That's it. There's going to be no bureaucracy or no red tape with that. You had a storm. You need relief. How much? We'll write you a check. It's your responsibility to deal with it. Now, there's pros and cons of that. There's been longstanding issues in North Carolina in regards to hurricane relief. You had the North Carolina Office of Recovery and Resiliency, NCOR, that was spawned under Democrat Governor Roy Cooper. NCOR was an abysmal disaster. NCOR wasted hundreds of millions of dollars, and in the meantime, individuals, almost more than 1,400 of them, are still waiting for the federal or for the state government to get the homes either rebuilt or rehabilitated after Hurricanes Matthew and Florence, which affected the state in 2016 and 2018. That, of course, in the eastern half of the state. But the one saving grace, or one of the big reasons in which I think it would make sense to turn FEMA into nothing more than a block grant organization, is at least we get some level of accountability. At least there's some level of accountability when this stuff is being done by the state. You can actually make some change or make some headway on what goes on in your local state. Very hard to do that up in Washington, D.C. And you're seeing that now with this new group, Grow NC, that was spawned by Governor Josh Stein. He identified that NCOR was a disaster. He identified that that agency was not capable of doing the job in which they were tasked, which was providing recovery to Eastern North Carolina. So he spawned up a new entity. That new entity is Grow NC. And so when we talk about, and there's all this discussion on everything that Trump's done over the last couple of weeks, everything that Elon Musk has dug into in the last couple of weeks, it's obvious that the way things are working right now is not sustainable. It's obvious that the way in which many of these federal agencies operate, including FEMA, is not sufficient going forward. If FEMA was a private business, they would no longer be in business. But because they are associated with the federal government, and because there is no accountability within the federal government, they are allowed to do the awful job that they are in perpetuity. Because what's the worst thing that happens? Nothing. They just go back to Congress, cry for more money, and that's it. If private business operated the same way FEMA did, they would no longer exist. They would have folded already. Same thing in North Carolina. If a private business was in charge of what NCOR was, that private business would no longer be in business. They would have already expended all of their money, ran out of funds, and they'd be done. But because the government has unlimited money from you and me, and of course just printing money at nauseam, they can just go on forever. There's really no risk. There's really no concern. Yeah, the director of FEMA might have to sit in some hearing in Congress and get reamed out by members of the government over how they're doing their job and so on and so forth. But that's it. It's a trick and pony show on TV. Nothing actually changes. Republicans and Democrats alike, they can talk the big game. They can yell at the administrator. They can say, this is unacceptable. You need to do better. Diane Criswell sits there and says, we'll do it. Who cares? Nothing changes. It's the same tale over and over again. You're familiar with the definition of insanity? It's doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. That's our entire federal government. That's FEMA. That's so many of these federal agencies. And it all comes back to one thing, accountability, which has not existed within the federal government for quite some time. Plain and simple. If there was more accountability, if individuals were actually held responsible for the shortcomings of their agencies, for the shortcomings of the groups in which they are responsible to lead, things would be different. At your job, your boss or your manager holds you accountable. If you're not doing things correctly, if you're not doing things appropriately, and they have to come to you over and over and over again and say, Nick, you're not doing this right. Nick, you're not doing this right. Nick, you're not doing this right. Guess what's going to happen eventually to Nick? Nick is going to lose his job because that's how a private business has to operate. There's no unlimited pot of money to pull out of constantly. But at the federal level, what's the worst thing that happens, right? As you heard from Dana Bash, well, FEMA is authorized by Congress. So what's the worst thing that happens? Nothing. And that's what you're seeing right now. It sucks. But that's the end result. That's what we're seeing. And again, while all of this is going on, while we debate whether or not FEMA should exist as an entity, as an agency going forward, people on the ground continue to hurt. And that's the real sad thing in all of this. So Trump's got this group set up. Michael Whatley, the head of the RNC, is one of the individuals leading that alongside some other members of Congress. And I look forward to hearing their recommendations. I hope Trump comes to North Carolina to discuss his findings and to discuss the path forward for FEMA as he sees fit and the recommendations that he gets from the folks involved in him. We will not be forgetting about Western North Carolina here. There's no place to forget about Western North Carolina. So we'll continue to keep a close eye on it, and we'll let you know probably some more news throughout the day. Today, I'm sure the left will, well, actually, the $59 million spent on hotels was not actually $59 million. It was actually like $56 million, and you know, they weren't luxury hotels. Some of them were more like three-star hotels. So Elon Musk's tweet about $59 million on luxury hotels is inaccurate. I'm sure that will be some of the coverage that you'll hear throughout the day today because that's how the left seems to tackle this issue. Politico wasn't getting $8 million from USAID. They were getting most of that from places like the Department of Defense. They were getting most of that money from other federal agencies. Well, did it still add up to $8+ million? Well, yes. Okay, so the issue still stands, right? The federal government is subsidizing Politico. Yeah, but Elon Musk's a bad guy. Yeah, but Doge is no good. That seems to be the left spin on all of this. They're losing the battle, and I've got some evidence of that coming up here in just a couple of minutes. I want to tell you about a sponsor of the program, Ground News. Staying up to date with events and all of the news that we talk about here on the show is incredibly difficult, and it's hard to do it all in one place. That's why I, for years, have been using Ground News. Ground News is an app and website that combines news from around the world in one place so that you can compare coverage. For every news source, you can see if they have a political bias. You can also see how reliable their reporting is and who owns them. One of the really cool features of Ground News is the blind spot feed that highlights a news disproportionately covered by one side of the political spectrum. You can get news from thousands of sources in one place and verify your information to know where your news is coming from. I use Ground News each and every day to prep for the show. And if you subscribe through my link right now, you'll get 40% off their Vantage subscription. That's the one I use, and you can get unlimited access to every feature with that subscription. Visit nickcraig.com/ground to learn more and save 40% off. Your subscription not only helps the show, but it supports Ground News as they make the media landscape more transparent. For 40% off to get access to Ground News, visit nickcraig.com/ground. That's nickcraig.com/ground. We appreciate their support here of the Nick Craig Show. We will grab a quick break on the other side. A new CBS News poll, very, very damning for the left. It shows some very, very broad support for President Donald Trump. We'll have those details coming up in a few minutes. You're listening to The Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X. And welcome back to the Nick Craig Show, streaming live this morning on YouTube, Rumble, and X. You can get bonus content, including daily show notes and more, by subscribing to the show over at Patreon. It's patreon.com/Nick Craig. Appreciate your support of the program as we embark here and bring you the latest news each and every weekday morning. It's patreon.com/Nick Craig. Well, the Democrats' worst fears are being realized right now. Not only did they take a massive L in November, losing the White House, losing the Senate, and losing the House. But their real worst fear was that people would latch on to the things that Trump is saying and doing and agree with it. See, they spent and have spent nearly a decade at this point claiming that Donald Trump is incapable of governing, that he is incapable of leading, he's a weak, useless leader, all of the things that they say about Trump. And as much as the media has tried to telegraph that, it unfortunately has not, fortunately for Trump, unfortunately for them, it's not resonated. People have watched the last 3 weeks, which I will admit, somebody that follows the news very closely for work, it's exhausting. When Trump is banging away at the drum at 24/7, whether it was at the Super Bowl last night, which, by the way, was the first president to attend that in history. While he's there, he's posting on X about he's going to direct the Treasury Department not to print penny or mint pennies anymore because it costs like 4 cents for the Treasury Department to make a single penny. He's just banging away at stuff 24/7. And there was a new CBS News poll that came out yesterday that is very, very destructive for the left. Let's go through some of the details right now. Here's the headline over at CBSNews.com. CBS News poll. Trump has positive approval amid, quote, energetic opening weeks, seen as doing what he promised. I want to read through a little bit of the article, and then I've got a clip from the CBS show yesterday. With most describing him as tough, energetic, focused, and effective, and doing as what he'd promised during the campaign trail, President Trump has started his term with a net positive mark from Americans overall. Many say he's doing more than they expected. And of those who say this, most like what they see, and very few think he's doing less. His partisans and his voters in particular say he's got the right amount of focus on the matters like ending diversity, equity, and inclusion programs and deporting those who are in the country illegally. His deportation policy finds majority approval overall, just as most voters said they wanted during his campaign. And that extends to sending troops to the border as well. But one key issue looms. Oh, okay, CBS, tell us, what is the key issue that looms? Most Americans say the administration isn't focused enough on lowering prices. Inflation was a key reason Mr. Trump won election. So, let's look at this first graph here. The CBS News YouGov poll described Donald Trump as question mark. 69% said tough, 63% said energetic, 60% said focused, and 58% said effective. It's pretty strong terms for a president. Tough, energetic, focused, and effective. This is voters all across the political spectrum. This isn't just a poll of Republicans and conservatives and Trump supporters. This is American voters, conducted February 5th through 7th with a 2.5-point margin of error. And this is what I found this one pretty shocking too. The Trump campaign, Trump and campaigning promises, is he doing it? 70% say he's doing what he promised in the campaign. 70%. While 30% say different from promised. And it's obviously pretty accurate to say those 30 are very far to the left and did not support Trump. But a 70% of individuals saying, yeah, he's doing what he promised. And with that, he's got a 53% approval rating, which is the highest that he's ever had in a CBS News poll, including his first term. So I caught this clip. This is from CBS News. This is when the report ran yesterday morning. And you can see Margaret Brennan, who, of course, had that very interesting interview with J.D. Vance back a couple of months ago, or a couple of weeks ago, rather. She did not seem super thrilled with this poll. I want you to listen and watch what took place on CBS's Face the Nation yesterday.
Our CBS poll finds that a majority of Americans, 53%, approve of the job he's doing. That's a better approval number than he ever reached during his first term in the White House. Joining us with more is our Executive Director of Elections and Surveys, Anthony Salvanto. Good to see you, Anthony. What's driving this?
I will keep it simple, Margaret. He is doing, in the eyes of the public, what he said he would do in the campaign. There's political value in that. In fact, 70% of people say he's doing what he promised. That's whether they approve of him or not. Now, there's another part of this that continues over from the campaign. There were words that he was described as being tough, being energetic, and he still is today in big majority numbers. So as people take a look in these first few weeks, there's been a lot of activity. They're getting that general sense of governance, and that's being reflected in these early numbers.
So that's perception. What about the actual policies?
Well, let's start with the ones that are popular. And again, these echo a lot of what we saw in the campaign. The idea of deporting those in the country illegally continues to be popular. We saw that in the campaign. Sending troops to the U.S.-Mexico border. Again, majority in favor. We'd seen that in the campaign. For his supporters in particular, the focus on ending DEI is popular. We had seen in the campaign a lot of them thought those processes had gone too far.
Man, this must have had to kill CBS News to report. They hate Trump. And by extension, they hate you and me. Because we support him. We agree with the policies and the things that he ran on, like the border, like what you're seeing now with DOGE in the Department of Government Efficiency, cutting wasteful spending within the federal government, getting the United States on track, trying to shovel ourselves out of $36 trillion in debt. This, again, had to have killed CBS News to report this. But as you go down in this poll, it just keeps going and going and going. Now, there's one issue that comes out of this poll. It's the question, Trump's focus on lowering prices. 66% say not enough. 31% say right amount. 3% say too much. I don't know what that means. That's one area that he's definitely probably got to focus more on. Now, again, it's been 3 weeks. He's coming up at noon today, he will have been in office 21 days. So I think we can give the president a little bit of leeway on that. I think that's fair within 3 weeks. But outside of that, almost everything else that Trump has done has seemingly, at least from this poll, very, very popular. Now, there's one issue, of course, and this is a partisan breakdown that doesn't come in popular either. Elon Musk and DOGE, influence over government operations and spending. This, I found this number to be a little bit shocking, though. 17% of Democrats say a lot. That was a lot higher than I was thinking. 17% of Democrats say, yeah, what Musk and Doge are doing is good. And the influence should be a lot. That compares to 30% of Republicans. 13% of Democrats think that Elon Musk and Doge should have some influence over government operations and spending, compared to 44% of Republicans. 20% of Democrats say not much influence. 16% of Republicans say not much influence. And of course, the largest number, 49% of Democrats say none. Elon Musk and Doge should have no influence over government operations and spending, compared to just 10% of Republicans. So a couple of very interesting things to take away from that. That 17% number really kind of popped off the this graphic for me. And I think it goes to show you that what you see on the news, what you see, and you saw some of it last week with the Democrats standing in front of USAID or standing in front of whatever various departments and yelling and screaming and singing songs and chanting about Trump, that is not speaking for the entire Democrat Party. When you have 17% of Democrats that say that Musk and Doge should have a lot of influence over operations and spending, that goes to show you that, as I mentioned before the break, Democrats are losing this battle. Democrats are not hitting this where they should be. And it makes sense. Whether you're a Democrat, a Republican, a conservative, a liberal, doesn't really matter where you fall on the political spectrum. You should be frustrated with the federal government. You should be frustrated with the copious amounts of spending and what you get in as a result. I mean, you're familiar with the acronym ROI, Return on Investment. Maybe you're checking out your 401k or your Roth or whatever. Maybe you're playing around with stocks on Robinhood or some other app. You're familiar with an ROI. You invest money into something, you put money into something, you'd like to see what you get back. Hopefully it's more than what you invested. And I think people across both sides of the political spectrum understand that the investments, and we'll put that in air quotes because we don't really have a choice, but the investments that we put into the federal government are not paying good dividends. We are not getting high quality, good, responsive services from the federal government. We talked about it earlier. Look at FEMA. It's the quintessential example of what's wrong with everything. We spend and we spend and we spend and we spend. And what do we have to show for it? $750 vouchers for people that have had their entire lives destroyed in Western North Carolina? Meanwhile, FEMA spent $60 million last week putting illegals in luxury hotels in New York? Tell me how that's a good return on investment. Tell me how that is a good bang for your buck as you're paying your federal taxes over the next couple of months. It's not. And it's frustrating, and it's why probably 17% of Democrats say, yeah, we probably need to look into this stuff. It's probably why 17% of Democrats go, you know, things might be, maybe they're a little out of hand. The proof is in the pudding. And it's unfortunate that people have had to see firsthand the inefficiencies and the useless nature of the federal government. And so all of this ties into another story. And by the way, I'll have the full link to that CBS News poll over on our show notes over at patreon.com/Nick Craig. But this CBS News poll ties into a headline over at NBC News that ran yesterday. Their headline is this, and I've talked about this over the last few weeks. Quote, "We are figuring it out. Democrats struggle to keep up with Trump's dizzying pace." This is exactly what I was talking about as last week or the week before. Trump is doing so much and has done so much in the last 21 days. The Democrats are struggling to keep up. And the areas in which they are or thinking that they're keeping up, they're losing the battle. Like in front of standing in front of USAID and yelling and screaming about, you know, how this is a destruction of our democracy and whatever other stupid nonsense they want to claim. Democrats are losing the public perception battle on all of this. I mean, look at the men and women's sports thing. This is something that Democrats have crafted and have had years to figure out how to message this. Figure out how to justify to the American public that it is appropriate for biological men to participate in women's sports. They've had years to figure this issue out. Years. And within one day, Trump signs an executive order surrounded by young female athletes, some of which severely affected by the policies of the left and this radical idea that there's no genetic difference between male and female. And in one day, one executive order, in one photo op, Trump completely sucks the air out of the room. And the left, on an issue that's an 80-20 issue, meaning 80% of people are not in favor of men playing in women's sports, Democrats completely lose it. They've had years to craft their message. And they just miserably failed. They lost that public perception battle royally. They're losing it on DEI as we speak. So let's go through just a little bit of this NBC News article. Again, we are figuring it out, quote, as Democrats struggle to keep up with Trump's dizzying pace. At the start of the week, President Donald Trump, by the way, this was published yesterday at 5 o'clock in the morning. So at the start of the week, President Trump warned ominously that the United States will retake the Panama Canal or, quote, something very powerful is going to happen. This, I guess, is speaking of last week. By week's end, he announced that he was killing off a prior mandate for government to buy paper straws, the environmental-friendly sipping utensil that dissolves disgustingly in the mouth, he wrote on a social media site. The two pronouncements bookend a frantic 7-day period, which Trump also made himself head of the Kennedy Center for Performing Arts with a creative sway over performances, where he signed an executive order banning transgender athletes from competing in women's sports and cheered on Elon Musk while a cadre of engineers swept into federal agencies to cut staff and programs with an aim to downsize government. Now, NBC is obviously trying to write this as a hit piece, but within these first, like, two paragraphs, I mean, this is exactly what I would have loved to see. I mean, what I'm reading right now is just music to my ears. Oh, you mean Trump is actually doing what he said he was going to do? Oh, you mean Trump is delivering promises that Republicans have been making for 30 years and just haven't been able to do? Sounds great to me. NBC News says actions are coming at so dizzying a pace, what stupid word, that it can be tough to track what Trump has done and what he's turned around and undone. At a news conference Tuesday of last week, Trump said that he would send U.S. troops into Gaza if need be to stabilize the bombed out territory. He backtracked 2 days later in a social media post. The president imposed a 25% tariff for two U.S. allies, Canada and Mexico, starting on February 1st. 2 days later, he paused the tariffs for a full month. Now, NBC News doesn't write, but they should, that was because Canada and Mexico agreed to come to the table. Canada and Mexico said that they would, we'll capitulate and we'll figure it out in 30 days. A 25-year-old staff member working with Musk resigned Thursday after being found out to have made racist comments online and was rehired the next day. So it just goes on and on and on and on and on. This is the interesting part. Last month, Senate Democrats planned a news conference devoted to Trump's blanket pardons of those who took part in the January 6th, 2021 riot at the U.S. Capitol. But they scrubbed it to focus on a new outrage, a freeze on trillions of dollars in federal spending. Jane Kleb, who is the chair of the Nebraska Democrat Party and the vice chair of the Democrat National Committee, said in an interview, quote, "We are figuring it out. We don't have a perfect plan yet." As I mentioned when we talked about this last week, I don't know if Trump is doing this intentionally, but if he's not, or if he is. This is so masterfully done, and it's exactly the point that I brought up. He is doing things so quickly and at such a rapid pace that they literally can't hone in on it. You've seen movies like, you know, The Hunt for Red October, right? Sean Connery. The torpedoes that the submarines shoot out, well, they have to lock onto their target. Famous scene in the movie where they get too close and the torpedo circles back and hits the submarine that shot it. That's kind of what Trump's doing right now. He is doing things so rapidly that the Democrats cannot harp in on any of it. They can't set their sights on any single target because Trump's signing like 30 executive orders a day. I mean, it's a constant news cycle. He's tweeting and posting things on True Social at 4:30 in the morning that completely scraps the Democrats' plans for the next day. So when Jane Kleb is saying, yeah, we don't have a perfect plan, we're trying to figure it out. I mean, there's no way to figure it out. There's no time for them to build up whatever narrative they're trying to spin because it's like a game of whack-a-mole. They're constantly trying to hit the moving target and they're failing miserably at it, which I'm all in favor for. A strategy at the start of the Trump's first term was a quote, flood the zone with S, presumably it says S-H-I-T, I don't know, as Steve Bannon, Trump's former White House strategist, memorably described efforts to keep the news media off balance. But the speed at which Trump is moving this time around makes the phrase seem quaint. Trump's allies and supporters have embraced a different term, shock and awe. Indeed, an NBC News review shows that Trump signed more executive orders in 10 days than any of his recent predecessors did in their first 100. The 47th President Trump has left the 45th President Trump sucking wind. Yeah, of course, got to get a little dig in there on Trump. Peter Navarro, the administrator's senior counselor for trade and manufacturing, said, quote, he, meaning Trump, is delivering on every single campaign promise at a record pace, even as Democrats keep trying to die on hills that the American people don't support them on. For example, USAID, funding to export a progressive social agenda out of touch with Main Street America. Resistance to Trump's agenda is coming largely from two places. Okay. Little La Resistance. Democrat elected officials who are waging a fight for public opinion and lawyers who are battling Trump in courts. At this point, lawyers are having far more success. A bunch of Democrat-appointed activist judges. On Friday, a federal judge paused a deadline for Trump administration to slash USAID to a few hundred workers, down from the 5,000 that it has right now. In the meantime, a group of 19 Democrat attorney generals filed suit on Friday to block Musk's Department of Government Efficiency team from gaining access to personal data, including Social Security numbers and bank account information housed at the U.S. Treasury Department. A federal judge on Saturday issued a ruling that temporarily blocks Musk's team from getting access to the data. The judge cited the risks of, quote, disclosure of sensitive confidential information and a heightened risk that the system in question will be more vulnerable than before to hacking. Okay, great. Now, because Musk's going to what? He's going to take my bank account, what? Siphon all the money out? And Musk's going to log into my checking account and take my money? That's what I'm real concerned about. And I can't get over this whole thing with this U.S. Treasury system where I have to hear from Democrats and from the media like NBC, confidential, sensitive information. You mean like all the same information that like practically every other freaking federal agency has? So the IRS doesn't have my Social Security number, doesn't have my bank account information. How the hell do I get my tax return? They don't mail me a check. It's a direct deposit. So there's no concern, like every federal agency has all this crap anyway. Do you get health insurance through like healthcare.gov or something like that through the open marketplace? They've got my Social Security number. They've got my bank account information so they can pull all my money out each and every month for my incredibly stupidly expensive health insurance. It's the outrage just seems ridiculous. And of course it is, but because it's Musk and you know, sensitive information. People are dealing with cyber attacks and phishing scams and all that stuff. I guess that's the avenue they're trying to take. But I just, what information does he have in there that isn't scattered elsewhere throughout the federal government? I just have a really hard time honing in on that. New Jersey's Attorney General Matthew Plankton, or Platkin rather, whose state was among the plaintiffs, told NBC News, quote, "There's a lot of talk now that President Trump is flooding the zone. That just is a nice sounding phrase for committing a whole bunch of illegal acts at once." He and his colleagues prepared carefully for Trump's return to office. They studied his speeches as well as governing blueprint that some of his past and present appointees drafted in the document called Project 2025. So New Jersey taxpayers were paying the attorney general in their state and their staff to comb through Trump's speeches and comb through Project 2025. Sounds like we need to get some Doge going on in New Jersey. Seems to me that having staff of the attorney general comb through Trump's campaign speeches and read through Project 2025, which is what, from the Heritage Foundation, isn't a best use of their time. I don't live in New Jersey. I never have. So I'm not a Jersey taxpayer, never have been. But I would imagine, since taxes tend to be pretty high in the Northeast, if I was living there and paying taxes, I probably wouldn't be super thrilled to have the attorney general coming out and going, "Oh, you know, we're prepared for this. We've been watching Trump's speeches in our office." Doesn't seem like the best resources of their time. But, you know, what do I know? I'm just a regular, conservative commentator. What do I know about any of this stuff? So this article goes on and 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 on. But again, let's look at what's going on here. Trump is doing things at a record rate. And he's not just doing things at a record rate, but he's doing things that are incredibly popular. That's backed up by the CBS News poll. And so Democrats are really at what I would describe as probably a turning point right now. If all of the things Trump was doing were resonating very unpopularly with the American people, if this CBS News poll showed that Trump was not being effective, if the CBS News poll showed that Trump was not winning on any of these issues, then Democrats probably could continue down the path that they're on right now. They could continue yelling and screaming and crying and bitching and complaining about everything Trump does. And to some success, they'd probably slowly carve away at his approval rate. But when you've got the American public so much in favor of what the president is doing, and you've got Democrats each and every day that are crying on cable news, MSNBC, CNN, the major networks, the major networks, NBC, ABC, and CBS, crying every day about Trump, crying every day about the administration and everything that they're doing, they're losing the battle. Now, notice I didn't say losing the war, but right now they're losing the battle handedly. Handedly. Because they're just not messaging what's resonating with the American public. They are failing to strike a chord with their voters, which is nothing new for the Democrat Party. Again, go back to the election in November. They substituted Joe Biden with this incredibly unlikable person who was the VP in Kamala Harris. The party of democracy scrapped Joe Biden, substituted Harris, who was not voted on to be a delegate or to be the president of the United States. She ran an awful presidential campaign and she got her ass handed to her. And Democrats saw that in all seven of the swing states. Trump swept the seven swing states. Trump then had a major win in the Senate, picking up more seats than they were thought, and continued to hold a majority in the House, albeit smaller than Republicans had hoped, but still a majority in the House. So I believe it is fair to say that the message that the Democrats ran on and the message that Democrats are continuing to yell and scream about now is just not working. Now, I always make sure I say this. I am okay with the way in which Democrats are operating right now. I hope Chuck Schumer and I hope Democrats continue to yell and scream about these issues. I hope these individuals continue to stand up in press conferences with avocados and Corona beer, talk about all these issues, have ridiculously stupid chants from in front of some federal agency. This week it might be the Department of Education. Just continue with it. It is only pushing more and more individuals into Trump's camp and isolating the Democrats as the unpopular party that is just not in touch, not in tune with reality. And I believe that's a very accurate statement as to what's going on right now. The Democrats are struggling to bring forward anything that is in touch with the American people. We saw it last week with their February 5th rally across the country with a bunch of Democrats in every state capital, including in Raleigh, aimlessly wandering through downtown with signs about how awful Trump and Elon Musk are. You guys might think that, but a CBS poll that just came out shows that that's not the case. And the CBS News one is the first kind of real bombshell one. I suspect we'll see more of this in the next couple of weeks and months. People want change. People are not satisfied with the current form of government. They're not satisfied with Congress. They never have been. They want something to change. They're sick of the status quo. And whether they like Trump or not, it appears that many are resonating with the fact that, well, at least it's different. Because what we had in the past was not sustainable long term. Case in point, look at our debt. Look at our spending. Look at the inefficiencies baked into our federal government. That's not sustainable. And even Democrats are waking up and realizing that. Now, not the far left progressives and not the elected Democrats in Congress outside of like somebody like John Fetterman, who seems to be the only one to have any idea that, hey, guys, we are going to bring ourselves into complete and total non-existence if we don't, you know, figure out how to message this stuff or get on board and try and work with Trump. Right, Biden was unpopular. Republicans ran counter to that. It worked out in their favor. Trump is popular, contrary to what people want you to believe. Contrary to what CBS or NBC or CNN or MSNBC might tell you, Trump is very popular. He resonates with regular, everyday American people. And so as he's signing these executive orders, as he's doing things like stripping diversity, equity, and inclusion out of the federal government, as he's protecting young female athletes so they have a place where they can play sports on an accurate and level playing field, as he's cutting out billions of dollars worth of government waste, that is resonating with the American people. Avocados and Corona beer at a press conference with Chuck Schumer is not resonating. Sorry, Chuck. Your little photo op wasn't working. Radical leftists screaming in front of the Department of, screaming in front of the USAID building over Elon Musk and how he's an unelected member of the government. It's just not working. Sorry, guys. Go back to square one, because what you're doing right now is completely missing the mark. I saw this tweet. This just popped into my timeline here. We mentioned at the top of the show the breaking news overnight. Doge discovered that FEMA sent $59 million last week to luxury hotels in New York City to house illegal immigrants. We got this tweet in about an hour or so ago, just seeing it now. This is from Cameron Hamilton, who is currently the acting FEMA administrator. And he says this, quote tweeting Musk's tweet, "I want to thank the Doge team for making me aware of this. Effective yesterday, these payments have all been suspended from FEMA. Personnel will be held accountable." He comments and says, "Should have never passed bills in 2023 and 2024 asking FEMA to do this work. This stops now." So Musk says Doge discovered this. The acting administrator of FEMA says, "Yep, we're done. We're not doing it anymore." So apparently those checks have been stopped. Those payments are no more. I'm sure There'll probably be a lawsuit about it today because, again, very popular to spend $60 million housing illegals in New York while people in Western North Carolina, Maui, Southern California, while they continue to struggle interfacing with the federal government. It'll be a great idea for the Democrats to sue the Trump administration over this one. I'm sure that will go very well for the Democrats. Completely unbelievable. I want to remind you that you can stay up to date with news throughout the day by giving me a follow over on X. It's x.com/Nicholas M. Craig. Well, that's going to do it for a Monday edition of the Nick Craig Show. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. We are back tomorrow morning, 7 a.m. right here on YouTube, Rumble, and X, and available 24/7 via the Nick Craig Show podcast. Have a great day, everybody.